This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Jennifer Graham, thank you very much, and welcome to a jam-packed Sports Saturday. 1 hour will not hold us today. As T-Tote would say, we will be going into extra time as 4 weeks of the high school football season are now in the books. And don't look now, but halftime of next week in the football season is half over, as it is just rocketing right by us. So we got Chad Easterday coming up in just a moment. Carlinville picked up a win over Gillespie last night, 42-7. Hillsborough coach Joe Reed will join us about 9:20. Toppers battled Vandalia last night. The Vandals won it 33-20. We will have Pat Bowman at the bottom of the hour. North Mac beat New Berlin last night, 40-6. And then the game of the night in the South Central Conference, Southwestern beat Greenville 28-7. The Piasaw Birds, a perfect 4-0 on the season. We will talk to Piasaw head coach Pat Keith about 10:10. We will talk with interim Greenville coach Todd Cantrell at 9:40. Of course, we'll have Nokomis coach Paul Watson joining us about 9:50. And Staunton head coach Austin Scherfey will jump on the program about 10 o'clock. So that's all coming up this morning here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We start like we often do during the football season with Carlinville head coach Chad Easterday. And Chad, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Hey, doing fantastic. From my perch last night, just outside the press box at Gillespie, I just happened to turn my head and had a view of you walking into the locker room at halftime. And Chad, I would describe the look on your face as I saw it as controlled agitation.
Controlled agitation.
You had a look on your face like, yeah, we're winning, but I'm not happy.
You know, we hadn't done the little things right, and it was frustrating, to be honest with you. The score should have been, we shouldn't have let him in there. And, looking back, Tim, you know, part of that is my fault. You know, and you have to admit that as a coach sometimes. You know, we had 3 minutes and 10 seconds on the clock going in, and trying to put another score on the board, knowing that we had the ball coming out of the gate. If I had it to do over again, I'd run 5-6 plays, run the clock down, and even if I had to punt and not score, would have been maybe better than attempting to score. And then we gave the ball back to them, and they punched one in before halftime. So, you know, I think it was a combination of some things that we hadn't done right, both as coaches and players. So we got that hammered out at halftime and took care of it in the second half.
Chad, isn't that a key, though, for a coach to have the respect, I guess, for lack of a better term, of his club? Is you have to be willing to stand in front of your team and says, guys, I might have messed that up a little bit. My bad.
I don't know about that, but that wasn't my exact words. But I do think there's a situation where they need to know that you screw up and that you're human too. And I just basically stood there and said, guys, I screwed this up. I said, and the defense didn't bail us out. And I said, and then we did get ourselves out of a tight jam. And there right before half, you know, I know everyone panics there a little bit on a stat sheet. You know, with that, we pride ourselves on a minute 30 left. We'll be happy to give you 50 yards in the stats, but we will not give you 6 points. So, you know, that sometimes that end of that second quarter, end of a game ends up to be a little long and drawn out because we're going to play a prevent defense. We're going to come up and tackle. We'll give you 2 first downs as long as we can get off that field, especially if you win the toss and defer. So, you know, and then that's what happened last night.
And then in the second half, you guys came out and you put the pedal to the metal. It was still a ball game there early in the third quarter, and the sequence wound up being Gillespie had 4th down inside of the red zone. Your defense came up with a big stop and then an explosive play on offense.
Yeah, you know, we're slowly finding out that we can do that on offense. So, you know, we had to get some things hammered out. I thought that their front four inside were really good last night. They have a young ball club that's going to be really good down the road. A lot of good skill kids. So we were able to, in the second half, spread them out a little bit more and isolate a few of those younger kids and see if they could play or not play out there. And then we were able to hit them with some big-time plays that they weren't quite ready for.
Chad, as I've watched Aiden DeBerzy here in the fall season, I mean, he was good in the spring, but he looks exponentially better here in the fall.
Yeah, you know, I think he's, we talked a couple weeks ago, I think he's matured a lot. I think he's, in terms of his ability to see the field and know the down and distance, those types of things. So, you know, as we move forward here, it's hopefully going to get nothing but better. You know, to be honest with you, if him and I talked after the game, I thought maybe one of his worst quarters was his second quarter of the season, was last night. And I was like, hey, now's the great time to get it out of the way. Let's not get it out of the way potentially week 10 or week 11, those types of things. So, you know, those are positives that we need to take and then move forward. And I thought defensively we made some mistakes too, and you know, we got some adjustments to make there and stuff like that.
Well, you know, really back-to-back weeks you went up against power running, really old-school style of offenses.
Yeah, you know, everyone says that Cardinal runs this spread offense and we throw it all over the place or we would do whatever. It's funny how, you know, some of it, like Hillsborough and those people, they still do those types of things. So sometimes it's hard to simulate it practice. I know some coaches like those types of offenses, and I do too, to be honest with you, Tim. We were joking about it. I had Brendan Stewart and Corey Frenetti for a lot of years, and we ran six different plays, and that was it. So, you know, it's 25 formations. But, you know, when you defend that type of offense, you got to get settled in. So Coach Steiner and I both knew going into the game the first quarter would be a coin toss because you can't simulate that 100%, and you got to get adjusted to that speed, and they have some speed. Wow, they got some speed. And it took us a little bit to get adjusted to that.
Well, six plays, that's five more than Lombardi was running, right? You get a seal here, you get a seal there, and there you go. Nothing to it. And, you know, it's just funny how much high school football has changed. They're talking about how maybe it's hard to simulate, you know, the power of football in practice. I remember, you know, at the beginning of your tenure, it was kind of hard to simulate the spread offense in practice as that was starting to become the norm.
Yeah, you know, Hutch was the first, I think, in our conference to kind of jump and dabble in it a little bit. All of us were in some type of gun formation, maybe 10, 20% of the time, but most of us were still under center or doing those types of things. We were joking about how, you know, that all that has evolved over time, and you're slowly starting to see it come back a little bit because pretty soon you're getting some different boxes and you're getting some different things, and you got to be able to do it all. And when at the end of the day, I think it, I don't know, Tim, you and I have been doing this a long time. It comes down to what you can teach your kids and what your kids can believe in. And, you know, that to me is the most important. And, you know, I think Lispy's got a great, great up and group coming. I'll tell you what, because they did a lot of things right last night. So,
and, you know, they've had a brutal start. You know, they've played all the big dogs after next week with Vandalia. So it's just the way the schedule worked out for Gillespie. But, Chad, as you look at your club now, you're 3-1 through 4 weeks. How do you assess? Where do you want to see the improvement working towards the back end of the season here?
You know, I think consistency has got to be the key right there. So, I mean, I think you watched us last night. At times we looked really good on certain plays and certain series. I'd like to see that start from the kickoff to the end. And, you know, I'll never be happy with our fundamentals until the season's over. So I think we can always do a better job tackling. You know, I thought last night some of our guys was, you know, watching way too much freaking NFL football for me. I just, you know, trying to give that shoulder tackle instead of chattering our feet and wrapping it up and just, you know, granted it's not fun to watch on Saturday mornings when they're all joking around and watching it on huddle and that sort of stuff. But, you know, just the fundamentals I think are good things, good snaps, good field blocks. You know, I'm still old school when it comes to those types of fundamentals. So if we can keep improving on those, I think we'll have a good chance at a run here, Sam, is what I'm getting at.
Sounds good. Chad, thank you for a few minutes of your time, as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, off to a 3-1 start. So Carlinville beat Gillespie last night 42-7. Vandalia beat Hillsborough 33-20. It was Nokomis over Litchfield 62-20. And now we have two undefeated teams left in the South Central. Pena beat Staunton 49-7. And Southwestern upended Greenville last night 28-27. So Pena and the Piasaw Birds sit atop the South Central Conference at 4-0. Sangamo Conference last night, North Mac beat New Berlin 40-6. Williamsville over Auburn 46-14. Marrero Forsyth thumped Pittsfield 70-0. Athens over Porta 47-12, but good to see Porta actually on the football field after three straight forfeits. Riverton over Pleasant Plains last night in the Sangamo 48-6. And the WIBC South, Greenfield Northwestern beat Calhoun 40-21. Carrollton over North Green 57-6. And in the WIBC North, it was Brown County topping Camp Point Central 22-20. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will catch up with Hillsboro Hilltopper coach Joe Reed when Sports Saturday rolls on.
9:17 right here at FM 106, and some of your Sports Saturday sponsors, they include Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville, Taste the Homemade Goodness of Prairie Farms, Mark Stern, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield, and Kurtz 24 Heavy and Light Duty Towing in Litchfield. Once again, we're going to join WSMI's Tim Mize.
Thank you, Jennifer. Boy, it was a busy night on the Tally Broadcasting Stations last night. Of course, we had our high school football doubleheader on FM 106.1. You can get both podcasts at WSMIRadio.com. We had the Cardinals, of course, on AM 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9. Their first game over the weekend with the Padres. Cardinals won last night 8-2. Boy, they look like a different club right now. They are rolling at the right time. They're back at it 5:20 this evening with the pregame. WSMI AM 1540, of course, FM 106.9 and 92.9. Illinois played last night. They lost to Maryland 20-17. Again, they were leading 17-10 with under 3 minutes to play, but wound up losing on a 32-yard field goal as time expired. So Illinois has dropped three straight. We'll have the Brett Bielema show coming up on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock on WAOX 105.3. The Ox. Coming up today, high school football. MacArthur will be at Glenwood in the Central State 8 and the WIVC North, 1 o'clock kicks. Beardstown at Triopia. Minden Unity will be at Jacksonville Route. In the Southwestern Conference, Belleville East will be at East St. Louis. That'll be a 1 o'clock start. And in eight-man football today, Pawnee will be at South Fork. That game will kick at 2 o'clock this afternoon. The Ray Long Volleyball Classic in New Berlin, that is continuing today. Pool play games got started at 9 o'clock this morning. They'll have cross pool play beginning at 11, championship matches set for 3 o'clock this afternoon. Joining us on the phone right now, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, Joe Reed. Good morning, sir.
Hey, morning. How are you doing?
Hey, doing good. And it's always dangerous just to make an assumption based off of a score, right, because you never know. But when I see that final score, that looks like progress to me.
Yeah, it's I definitely feel progress this week than I felt the last two. But we got to work on getting out of the gate because our first quarter was pretty awful.
And I mean, that, you know, we talked about it last night, Carl and I did on our broadcast. You know, coach always talk about finishing strong, and that's cool. But there's a lot to be said for starting fast.
Yeah, I completely agree, especially with the style we play, you know, getting ourselves behind the eight ball. We talked about our kids. We watched the replacements this week, a little clip from it about quicksand and how when bad things happen, you know, before you know it, you're in over your head. And that's kind of how it has felt the last couple weeks. And, you know, I thought that we showed a lot of pride in the second, third, and fourth quarter. And those are the kind of quarters we need to be putting together early. And, you know, I feel like it's starting to come together and we're starting to make plays. So it's just kind of, you know, again, a matter of time. And, you know, hopefully from here on we can build off of it.
And, you know, Joe, we talked about the brutal start to your schedule, getting the top part of the league right out of the gate. But, you know, Carlinville and Pena, I guess, got out of hand. But the Hillsboro Hilltoppers aren't the only school where that happens when Carlinville and Pena are the opponents.
Oh, yeah. They're, again, well-coached teams, but you know, the good thing about playing, you know, teams like that early is, you know, everyone's trying to find their groove, but it also kind of gives you a good measurement of where you're at. And, you know, we made some adjustments from those weeks, and, you know, I feel like we're heading in the right direction.
And, Joe, with the physicality of your club, your schedule moving forward now, that should become a pretty big asset for you guys.
Yeah, I think that's, being physical is kind of something that we pride ourselves on. And I thought in the second, third, and fourth quarter, we kind of displayed that a little bit with some of our big boys. I thought Malloy and Wells did an excellent job, you know, leading up front. And then, you know, Reese, Kyle, and Maddox, Scout also played really well and kind of moving that line of scrimmage. And, you know, those are things that we're going to need, you know, through the rest of our schedule to pick up some, to get in the win column. So,
you know, Joe, I remember years ago Don Borgini told me, football, it's just blocking and tackling. You know, I mean, when it gets down to it at the end of the day, if you block well and you tackle well, you're going to do well.
Yeah, you know, we talk about alignment and all those things and getting in the right spots. But, you know, basically it comes down to a series of one-on-ones. And, you know, if you can win more of those one-on-ones, you're setting yourself up for success. And
unfortunately, in the first few weeks, you know, they've had some, we've played against some teams that have kids that are really good in one-on-one and in space. And, you know, those are things that we're working on. And so hopefully, you know, we can get there.
And you mentioned no quit, not surprising there. And I wouldn't imagine there's a lack of confidence in your group either.
You know, I feel like mentally they're pretty resilient. And, you know, that's something that we just need a little bit more of that, you know, throughout the game. But as far as, you know, once the game's over, I feel like, you know, they're ready to move on and learn from it, which is something that we've kind of preached this year. And, you know, honestly, putting a new system in and things like that, there is a lot of things to learn. So it's just kind of, you know, getting there mentally and then matching that up with our physical ability. And I really thought in the second half, you know, we kind of got on defense. I thought we're kind of playing with our hair on fire there, and that's kind of what you want, you know, when you're on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, Coach Reed had a coach, my brother had a good plan in place, and you know, I think our kids are getting comfortable. So, you know, those are things that you know, kind of excite you as a coach. Even though, you know, our goal obviously is to come out with a win. You know, we gotta look at some of the things that we're doing right. You know, learn from it, build on it.
Well, I mean, it's building blocks, right? Like, you don't just go from 0 to 100 like that. It takes time, and you guys have the process working. And you mentioned their defense playing with hair on fire. Sometimes, like you mentioned, when that fuse gets lit, it doesn't go out. And if that's the case, that is a huge, huge thing for the Toppers moving forward here.
I completely agree. And and even, you know, I just thought we had our DBs really kind of, again, they got settled in. And you know, that's something that we've been waiting for, you know, because we know we got the ability. It's just a matter of getting comfortable and kind of marrying the knowledge with the ability. And I thought offensively, I mean, we had guys making checks on the line, which we haven't, you know, really hadn't put in, you know, hadn't gotten to in those first few weeks. And, you know, we were there. So I think things are going to start hopefully blending together pretty nicely for us.
We talked last week about maybe there was more thinking than reacting. Perhaps that corner is about to be turned.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, that's what we're looking for. And, you know, I just really love how they fought in that second half and came out and responded. I mean, we gave up a touchdown right away in the first, you know, right away to start off the second half. And it could have been, you know, it could have packed it away. But, you know, I thought the pride and then, you know, again, getting comfortable and obviously getting comfortable against the team you're playing. You know, unfortunately, you can't snap your fingers and success happens, especially in this conference with, you know, the grueling schedule that we've played early. So, you know, we understand that it's a process, and I think our kids are there, and we're, you know, looking to make a push these last five games and see, you know, see what we can do. If we can sneak in, that'd be great. But, you know, again, it's a process, and you know, we're just looking to build on that.
And I think you guys got Paris next week, so non-conference, which that will be weird for Hillsboro. It'll be weird for you coming from Athens. You're just used to the closed conference.
Yeah, it's a little different, and, you know, as far as knowing a lot about the teams in this conference, I already don't know that, you know, that much. I'm learning as I go. At least I've seen a little bit of them on film.
Right.
Paris, I mean, this is going to be a whole different ball game. I have no idea. So, you know, we've got some film exchanged, and, you know, so we'll be breaking that down the rest of the weekend, and, you know, hopefully we can put a nice game plan together and, you know, have a good week, so.
You probably wish film exchange was like it used to be back in the day, right, where you'd have to, like, send one of your assistant coaches, like, 2 hours down the road to get the film and then bring it back. That was a lot better than the system they got now, right?
You know, I guess that's a sign that I'm getting older, because I remember still doing that my first few years of coaching, and that, you know, huddle was just still kind of in its infancy, and film exchange, and I think it was a DSV company or whatever it was, and you know, I remember driving a couple of times, but yeah, it's definitely made it a lot less windshield time anyway. But you know, it's interesting, and you know, it's obviously a lot easier now. So
there's not enough hours in the day for you anyway, so that at least maybe it gives you some more time to focus on what you want to be focusing on. Final question, Joe. Health wise, how the Toppers looking here?
You know, we came out real pretty healthy last night. Unfortunately, we found out earlier in the week that we lost Carson Madalino, one of our linemen. So he's done for the season. He's had a few concussions. So unfortunately, we'll be down a man there. We also lost Drake Mullen to a PE injury. He turned an ankle, and God bless the kid. He scored a touchdown. He's a lineman. He scored a touchdown in PE. That doesn't happen often. And unfortunately, he he broke his ankle, so he'll be out. He may get back towards the end of the year, so we're hoping for that because he's a good player, and he was the backup role guy. He's on special teams, and you know, him and Carson were real upset that we won't get to see them play again.
Well, Joe, I guess at least he got hurt playing football and not dodgeball in PE.
Yeah, that's kind of what I told the PE teachers. I'm like, look, it was a football injury. We can call it that. So.
That's exactly right. Joe Reed, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hey, you guys have a good weekend. Thank you.
That's Joe Reed, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. And, boy, that's about a coach's worst nightmare, right? You never want to get that call from the nurse that one of your football players has been hurt in PE. Well, injured in PE, not hurt. Injured, broken ankle. Ouch. That is unfortunate. Not the first time, though, there has been an injury in PE, and it won't be the last either. Coming up, we're going to talk with North MAC head coach Pat Bowman. We got Greenville interim coach Todd Cantrell on the way as well. Paul Watson joins us coming up in about 20 minutes. Austin Scherfe with Staunton at the top of the hour, and then Southwestern's Pat Keith joins us about 10:10. The Piesaw Birds, the win of the night last night, knocking off Greenville 28-27 as the Piesaw Birds are a perfect 4-0 coming off of that 5-1 spring season, now 4-0 and tied with Pena atop the South Central Conference. The North MAC Panthers have battled back to .500. They are now 2-2 on the year. Got a win last night over New Berlin. Their head coach, Pat Bowman, joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, Pat.
Hey, good morning, Tim. How's it going?
Hey, doing fantastic here, and good. Quite a lot has happened with North MAC since the last time that we had the opportunity to talk. And, of course, you lost the conference game, picked up only Richland County. I guess first just talk about that process, because that was a fairly hectic situation.
That was more than just fairly hectic, definitely. we got a call Thursday at 3:30. The poor they had some more COVID issues and said they weren't going to play us on Friday. Mm. So we had a fresh soft game going on at the time, and we were scrambling and got a hold of Coach Music down at Richland County, who was open, and he was willing to travel to us, and we were able to make it happen. So we unfortunately, one of those teams, according to the IHSA rules, now had to take a loss, even though found the game to give kids a chance to play, and we could have sat home and both teams won. And, we were excited. They just wanted their kids to play, and we did too. So, and the result luckily ended in our favor.
I guess how did you settle on Richland County? This is where contacts with you as the coach, contacts with Chris Rayner as the AD, certainly come into play.
Yes, definitely, and a lot of that, believe it or not, is through Twitter. Their coach had put it on there, and our AD, Chris Rayner, said, hey, that team's open. And so far, we didn't know too much about each other. We just knew they were a lot bigger school than us. And I called a couple coaches in the area and said, hey, is it safe for us to play? Because you never know when you play the larger opponents. We can't limp out of there and have all of our guys hurt for the rest of the season. So. And talking to other coaches, you know, and saying, hey, it'd be a perfect competitive game, go for it. Makes you feel better, and they were definitely a class act program, and their fans, their kids, their coaches were awesome people, and they even thanked us for hosting them 3 hours away. Mm-hmm. So definitely a good experience for our kids and theirs.
So a good use for Twitter. I'd always wondered if there was one out there. We finally found a good use for the Twitter. Pat, obviously the game went very well for you against Richland County, and you mentioned a bigger school, and, boy, it has to be really exciting for your kids to go out and perform like that against the bigger school.
It was, and for one of our kids, it was the first game last week and even last month on quarantine and other COVID issues. So definitely exciting to have people coming back, and hopefully we can keep this norm and keep it going.
Then last night, of course, you played New Berlin, another impressive win for you guys last night. Just talk to me about what you guys did well last night against the Pretzels.
The big standout was our defensive game. I think they had 70, they didn't even have 80-yard total offense against us, about negative I think is almost negative 70 in the rushing department. So definitely helps when you play good defense. But we were kind of upset to score points, but that happens sometimes.
Well, yeah, when you get in that situation, the shutout becomes almost like the game itself, doesn't it? The game within the game.
It does, and we preach that to our kids. It's kind of a cliche, but we always say, hey, if they don't score, they can't beat you. So we take pride in defense, and they stepped up and played awesome last night. And the offense, we knew we would be able to move the ball, and they did a good job as well.
Can we just talk about, you know, football and the family atmosphere, and we're really seeing a lot more of that this year with all the different COVID things that are going around, and I would imagine that your group is really galvanized right now.
They are. They pulled together because they've had the first 2 weeks of the season were brutal. It's something that you can't even hardly fathom having to go through with kids, and they've pulled together, stayed positive, and you talk about awesome teammates, and they really are from top to bottom.
And that, I mean, that's the essence of high school sports, isn't it? Like, everybody wants to win. Nobody wants to lose. That goes without saying. But at the end of the day, those types of situations, the character building that's going on, that's what it's about.
It definitely is, and that's what we talk about every day. I tell them, guys, you're going to remember your teammates mm-hmm. all the way through. These memories you're making, they'll never be taken away from you. You won't remember who's sitting next to you in a certain classroom, but you'll always remember that guy in the locker room and all the good times and the teammates you've always had. So the family is definitely huge.
Pat Bowman, the head coach of North Mac, joining us here on Sports Saturday. And I guess, Pat, just finally, where do you want to see the biggest improvement of your club here as we go down the final stretch?
Big thing, like I said, last night was the first game for some and even just the second game for some. So we've still got that early season mistakes. We've got to clean up a little bit. You have those early penalties, the early offside things. Just continue to grow every day. We'll definitely hit fundamentals the next few weeks and hopefully be rolling by the end of the season.
I guess really with you guys, it's almost the old cliche or the battle of rest versus rust.
Exactly. We and I did give them this morning off. I got home late last night from New Orleans, so I said sleep in. We've had an emotional 2-3 weeks here. Enjoy a weekend, and we've got homecoming coming up next week, which should be a fun week for them.
Coaches always love homecoming week, don't they? The focus is on nothing but the football game, and it's just lasered all week.
Well, I always tell Coach Wilson we're going to move it to basketball season.
He's like, nah, I don't think so. We're okay.
Yes, exactly. But now it's always a fun time.
Pat, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir.
Hey, thanks, Tim. Take care.
That's Pat Bowman, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers. Yeah, and you always hear coaches talk about homecoming. And it's always tongue-in-cheek, right, because they love homecoming week. The kids love homecoming week. But football coaches like to have 100% focus and attention throughout the week. And, you know, Spirit Week, all the different days, all the different themes, all the festivities that are going on. But at the end of the day, you always hear coaches say, everybody else in the district, they want the football team to win homecoming. You know, it's the perfect cherry on the homecoming Sunday when the team can win that homecoming game. So North Mac will look to take care of business next week. Some other scores for you from around the area last night. In the Central State 8, Rochester beat Eisenhower 54-20. SHG over Springfield High 52-7. Normal U High beat Southeast 43-21. In the Mississippi Valley Conference, Triad over Civic Memorial 30-14. Highland top Jersey 54-12. And Muscoda doubled up Waterloo 42-21. Apollo Conference last night, Mount Zion beat Taylorville 55-14. Collinsville over Charles, so this was non-conference, of course, 49-14. The Kayhawks won there. Muhammad Seymour beat Lincoln 53-22, and Mattoon over Effingham 20-14. In the Cahokia, Mississippi Conference last night, Columbia beat Roxana 21-0. Salem blanked Wood River 46-0, and Bree Central winners over Freeburg 20-16. Southwestern Conference, O'Fallon beat Edwardsville 30-14. Alton topped Belleville West 6-3. Non-conference saw Breeze Modern Day beat Alton Marquette 65-12, and a double overtime ball game last night in the Cahokia Conference saw Carlisle beat Redbud by the final of 12-6. We're going to catch up with interim Greenville head coach Todd Cantrell in just a moment here on Sports Saturday. We still have Nokomis coach Paul Watson, Staunton head coach Austin Scherfe, and Southwestern coach Pat Keith on the way here on your Saturday morning. Boys soccer today, Litchfield is at Greenville. That match at the top of the hour in Greenville. Macon Meridian will be at Vandalia. Lincoln at Muhammad Seymour. Those are also 10 o'clock starts. Taylorville will be at Effingham. Roxana at Bree Central. Glenwood at Quincy. All those soccer matches will begin at 11 o'clock this morning. The Ray Long Volleyball Classic continuing in New Berlin today. They had some pool play games to wrap up. Those got underway at 9. They'll have the final round of pool play games at 10, with the cross pool play beginning at 11 o'clock. Championship match will be about 3 o'clock today for the Ray Long Volleyball Classic in New Berlin. We are happy to be joined on the telephone right now by Todd Cantrell. Of course, Todd, the interim football coach right now for Greenville, but he has been on the Comet staff for decades, and we're happy to have him with us this morning on Sports Saturday. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning. You make me sound like an old-timer there, but that's I guess I am, huh?
Well, I guess, but, man, you don't look old. When I first started, I remember looking at you thinking, man, he's got to be like 25 years old, but you've been coaching for like 20 years.
Well, I feel, how about I feel a lot older after games like last night? How about that?
Ooh, boy, Todd, that's a brutal one, and just take it through us. I'm sure that was a roller coaster type of emotional night.
It was. It was from a fan standpoint, I'm sure it was a great game to watch, and hats off to Piasol. They really have got a good football team, and Coach Keith just does a really good job of getting their kids ready to play. They can put you in a lot of conflict when you're on the defensive side of the ball. They've got some really outstanding running backs, and you put in their quarterback in there. I mean, they've got four legit weapons offensively, and they just did a really nice job all night. We just didn't feel like we executed nearly as well as we had in the first 3 weeks. So it's a tough one for us to swallow, but hopefully we'll learn from it and grow and get better.
And Todd, your group has been through so much already this year, and obviously we wish Todd Hutchinson a speedy recovery here, but a group of high school kids to overcome that type of situation, that says a lot about the kids on your team.
Well, it says a lot about our leadership that we've had, the leadership of our seniors and the kids that have come back from us from, you know, everybody keeps saying last year, but it was just last spring.
Right.
That's the thing you got to keep in mind. It's just last spring, and these guys have been really good. But Coach Hutch is getting back into the groove a little bit. He's been around a little bit more, and it's great to see him here. Mm-hmm. The kids kind of light up every time he's here, so it's a good thing. And we're going to get him back in the fold as soon as he feels very good. He's been in the booth the last couple weeks.
Okay.
Which is an improvement and getting better for him. So he's been in the booth, and I know that kind of drives him crazy a little bit to be up there. But that's what we're doing right now. And luckily we've got great assistant coaches around here that have really done a good job. We've had a lot of our guys step up. This is a staff that's been together for quite a while, so we feel very comfortable with what we're doing. And then we're just blessed right now with some really good kids as far as leadership wise. So we're rolling with it. We're trying to get better, and hopefully we'll get the whole thing put back together here before long.
Todd, we've talked about this in the past. I've always thought one of the great keys to the Comet sports success across the spectrum is the continuity of the coaching staffs, right? Like, you've been the basketball coach for a long time on the football staff as well. Hutch also coaches baseball. He's done that for a long time. So when you've got the same group of athletes, they've got the same group of coaches. So when this situation went down at the start of the year, like, oh, okay, Coach Cantrell's taking over. All right.
Well, it has been a while. It's been a great run. I mean, Coach Hutch and I think this is 28 or 29 years
wow.
now, and Coach Jurg is like 1 year behind us with maybe 27, 28. Coach Pickett's been with us for 15-plus. Coach Dahl's been with us for 15-plus. Coach Romack and Coach Clark have been for 12-plus, I think. So it's a staff that has been together for quite a while. It really has. And the continuity of the staff has been really good for us. It's been good for the kids. And we're all on the same page. We're all fighting for the same thing, no matter if it's the fall, the winter, the spring. We other coaches know we've all got each other's back, and we want to see success for Comet Athletics, and that's the biggest thing. We've you know, most of us played here, and we just want GHS, and we want the Comets to have success no matter what we're playing.
And there is just – that can't be overstated for the health of the program when the coaches have been there for as long as you guys have. But at the same time, you put on the same uniform that these kids are now.
Absolutely, and I think that's – that, you know, it means a lot to us. It really does. It's, you know, when you put this much time and invest this much energy that we have into programs like this, and it just means so much to us, and coming from here, it's meant a lot to us. But it's been really fun. It's been great, and we just want to keep this thing rolling as long as we can.
You know, maybe not the same uniforms. The basketball shorts have gotten a little bit longer, thankfully.
Thankfully, they've gotten a little bit longer. That's for sure.
Todd, talk to me about, you know, overcoming adversity, of course, on and off the field. But first game of the year, Nathan Gruel goes down.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've we've got the injury bug around here right now. I mean, we've lost Nathan Gruel in week one. We lost Hayden Graham in week two. And then I'm afraid we lost another one last night. But we've probably lost three of our top four defensive players here in these first 4 weeks. And nobody wants to hear that. I mean, it's just one of those things in high school football. And it's just, you know, we have to steer the ship. I mean, nobody wants to hear about the rocky waters, right? Everybody just wants you to steer the ship. So we're going to keep going. It's unfortunate. We hate it for those kids because they're all three seniors, and that's the unfortunate thing about sports and high school football, especially, is when you go down like that with what is probably a season-ending injury. It maybe end up being a career-ending injury for a lot of the guys because you just don't have a lot of guys that go on and play college football. So we hate it for them, but you know it does give our other guys a chance to step up. And as coaching staff, we just have to find the next guy. Coach him up a little bit and put him out there and see what happens next.
Well, you know, Todd, everybody always wants to know, well, why'd you lose? Then you tell them why you lost. Well, that sounds like an excuse. Well, no, maybe it's just the reason. But when I think about the injuries, my first thought was, in your opinion, is that have anything to do with having just played in the spring, or is it just as simple as it's football and things happen?
You know, we were just sitting around last night as a staff about midnight asking that's the exact same question. But it's one of those things we don't know. I mean, last night was a freak thing. We Kazem Weber got rolled up when he was underneath, you know, under the pile, and three or four guys land on him, and it's just an unfortunate thing. You know, and we're not about excuses, that's for sure. We're not about excuses around here. We hate it because it's the kids that we love. We hate it because of the time that they've invested, and we hate it because they're seniors. But we're going to try to, you know, find the next guy. We're going to go on. We're going to coach up the next guy and get ready to play next week.
Sounds good. Todd Cantrell, really appreciate some of your time this morning, sir, and we look forward to watching the Comets here down the stretch.
Okay, thank you very much.
Todd Cantrell with the Greenville Comets, interim coach. And, boy, great to hear that Hutch is slowly getting back in the fold here. Just going to be a bit of a process. And yeah, you were to say, doesn't like being up in the booth. I wonder what the other Greenville assistant coaches who are up in the booth with Hutch think about that. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will talk with Nokomis coach Paul Watson. We still got Staunton coach Austin Scherfe and Southwestern coach Pat Keith still coming up when Sports Saturday rolls on.
946 FM 106. You got Sports Saturday right here on WSMI. Some more of those sponsors bringing this program to us are Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond, Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield, and Huff Funeral Homes in Hillsboro, Raymond, and Farmersville. And once again, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
Jennifer Graham, thank you so much. Back here on Sports Saturday, Cardinal baseball for you tonight. Against the Padres, 5:20 pregame, AM 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9. Cardinals are a game ahead of Cincinnati, 1.5 up on San Diego for that second wild card spot. And I always talk about baseball. You know, high school football is a sprint. The Major League Baseball season is a marathon. And the Cardinals, they look like a completely different club these last couple weeks than they looked for a majority of the season. They're getting the big hits. Their pitchers aren't walking the ballpark like they were for a majority of the season. So, I mean, right now, you know, it's about how are you playing this time of year. And right now the Cardinals are playing as good a baseball as anybody out there. So we'll see if they can keep it rolling. 5:20 today with the pregame on AM 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9. On the phone right now is Nokomis head coach Paul Watson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing fantastic. And, hey, anytime Nokomis gets to play football against the South Central School, that is an opportunity.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like the old days when we were back in the South Central. It's a good time.
And I would imagine, like, did you get some nostalgia rolling last night?
You know, it's interesting how, you know, some of the older guys that was, you know, back in the 80s when they played, you know, they looked at our schedule and seen that we were playing, you know, Litchfield and Gillespie and Pena and, you know, all the stories coming back from their glory days. So, you know, anyway, it was interesting, some of the stories I heard.
You know, it's funny, like, you guys obviously not in a conference this year, but, you know, three-year games against the South Central Conference, so that's something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's good, you know, and we're still trying to find a conference to play in. And hopefully, you know, we got a pretty good lead. Hopefully we'll get into one.
You probably can't get into this too much, but what is the process involved there? Just Nokomis reaching out, and then if there's an opening, what's the process?
Yeah, you know, you look around and you see some conferences that you think it's a good fit, and you talk to some of the guys that are in charge of that conference, and a lot of times, you know, they're like, you know, we got an 18th in there. If you get a 9th, then it's going to throw our schedule off. You know, we need somebody to go with you. So, you know, they'll say yes or no, or, you know, they'll say, yeah, go ahead and throw in an official letter that you're interested in joining, and then, you know, then they'll talk about it at their meeting and maybe invite us to a meeting and kind of get to know each other and then go from there.
So it's just a process like everything else, isn't it? Just takes time.
No, it is. That's kind of the frustrating thing. I'm one that's like, you know, let's get it done. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things. It just takes time. You got to be patient and have a little luck and, you know, hopefully they'll let us in.
Kind of like the game itself, huh? Got to be patient. A little luck never hurt anything.
Yep, absolutely. And a lot of times, you know, I gotta step back and think, okay, hey, just take a deep breath there, slow down, and do your thing.
So talk to me about the game last night. You know, we know that Litchfield is trying to build back up, but it sure looks like you guys came out and asserted yourself early.
And we did, you know, and we talked after the second half last week, you know, hey, we're done with this waiting around and only playing two quarters, you know, we've got to come out firing right from the get-go. And we, you know, we preached that all week of practice, and the guys responded, and they did that. And, you know, Litchfield, that coaching staff has done a good job with them guys, and they're on the right track there. So, you know, I can see here in another year or so that group is going to be pretty good.
Paul, coaches, they always got the pulse of their team. Through the week of practice, did you have a feeling last night they're ready?
Oh, yeah. You know, and I think that second half of last week, you know, that was kind of a wake-up call that we needed. You know, we started playing with a little bit more intensity and defensively, you know, playing downhill and, you know, hitting pretty good. And so, yeah, and offensively, you know, with losing Landon, and then last week at Landon got hurt and he was out, and then Matthew Hill was out last week with an injury. So we had Matthew come back this week and, you know, offensively we were clicking pretty good there.
You know, mentioned, you know, non-conference this year. In a lot of ways, every week probably feels like a playoff week.
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of fun where you go and, you know, like I said, we're headed down to Edwards County, which never been there and don't really know much about them, you know, next week. So that's kind of like a playoff, you know, long road trip. And, you know, and then you get Litchfield, you got Gillespie, you know, Pena. I haven't played Pena forever. And so, yeah, it's kind of neat. It's kind of fun and, you know, it's a little bit more of a challenge than, you know, if you got a close conference, you know you're playing, you know the coaches, you know how they coach their kids up, you know, it makes that a little bit easier. But, yeah, every week with somebody new that you haven't played or haven't seen for a while, it makes it a little bit more difficult.
Paul, I know you got games in between here, but Nokomis, Pena, football, that will have folks' attention.
Oh, yeah, that's an old rivalry from way back, you know, in basketball, football. And so, like I said, the guys that played back in the South Central back in the day, you know, that's already been talked a lot about, and I'm sure this place is going to be packed and it's going to be loud.
Talk to me about where you want to see your club improve moving forward here.
Well, I mean, we had a couple turnovers last night. We got to take care of that. You know, a little bit more playing, a little bit more physical. You know, we've always preached that, and I don't think we'll ever be happy with, you know, with our physicality. So we got a few things on defense with some DBs and coverages. We got some blocking down on the line. We got, you know, there's always stuff. There's a lot of stuff, little things that we've got to get corrected, and, you know, that's what we got practice for.
That's exactly right. And, you know, that's the beauty of football, though, isn't it? Because with just one game a week, it does come down to that preparation. How well have you prepared yourself Monday through Thursday?
Oh, yeah. And you know, and that's a huge difference between football and other sports like basketball, where, you know, you've got a couple games, two, maybe three games a week, and there's times you'll get in a tournament and, you know, you don't have time to make those adjustments. Mm-hmm. So, you know, football, you've got a good, you know, 3 days, sometimes 4 days to prepare and fix, you know, fix those things and coach your kids up. So, it's what we get paid the big bucks for.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Your hourly rate is off the charts, I'm sure.
You know, we did that 1 year just to see, and we got about halfway done. We said, man, we're done looking at that. That's not so good.
I don't want to know what the number is.
Yep.
Oh, man. Paul, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
That's
Paul Watson, the head coach of Nokomis. And yeah, the coaches don't want to figure out that number, but I think I've heard like it'll come out to about $1.13 an hour all the time that these coaches put in. And, you know, with that in mind, the officiating rate, you know, like we talk about all the time, they don't do it for the money. They do it for the kids and the opportunity to play. And we have been beating this drum for a long, long time, but it is really come and due this year. The officials shortage, it is here. Terry Tote was talking about this 10 years ago, and he said, it's not a problem now, but it's going to be. And it is. I mean, we are seeing games get canceled because of lack of officials, games getting played with just soccer games, no less, getting played with one official. Think about the logistics involved in that. We need officials. You know, we saw Kevin Olsen's crew at Carlinville a couple weeks ago, and I commented to all of them, you realize you guys can't retire. Not allowed to retire. Like, if you're officiating now, you can't do it. You got to just keep going because we don't have enough new guys coming in. We can't lose the ones that we have. But for sustainability, we need more officials. And I get it. Like, you know, the people who are going to become officials are most likely people who have been at sporting events, you know, most of their lives, and they see how officials get treated. So maybe that's the root cause, right? Like, we're having trouble getting officials. Why? Because they get treated like garbage most of the time, you know, and that the fans have a right to voice their displeasure. They do. But when you go to a game, it's amazing the abuse that high school officials take. You know, it is. And it's not surprising now that we have a shortage. It just isn't. But I will continue to make a plea to anybody. If you have ever thought about officiating, please, this is the time. You are needed. You know, all the conversation we have on this Sports Saturday program is about the kids, right? About the opportunity, about the life lessons, the character building, all those different things, so important. But if we don't have officials to officiate the game, all that goes away. Got to have officials, please. IHSA.org, great place to go. Always you can call Louie Lang. If you have any questions about anything, like, boy, I don't know, maybe I would like to do that, but I'm just not sure, call Louie Lang. If you don't have Louie's number, call the station. I will get it for you. But please, we need the officials, and I will continue to beat the drum until we don't see games getting canceled and moved because of lack of officials. The problem's here, and you know, maybe it's like everything else. Maybe we don't care until it happens to our school or to our team, but it's happening in a widespread fashion here across the entire state. So please consider becoming an official. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. Told you at the top, we can't jam it all into 1 hour today. We're going into extra time. We're going to have Staunton head coach Austin Scherfe joining us in moments, and then Southwestern head coach Pat Keith. He might not have slept at all last night. I don't know. Coming off that great win over Greenville, the Piasaw Birds are 4-0. So we'll talk to Coach Scherfe, Coach Keith, when Sports Saturday continues.
9:59 right here at FM 106 WSMI. Sports Saturday sponsors include Prairie Town Feed Service. Also, Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Girls Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield, Litchfield National Bank, and Woods Basement Systems. And once again, with Sports Saturday, here's WSMI's Tim Mize.
Extra time here on WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. Austin Scherfe of Staunton coming up in moments. Southwestern head coach Pat Keith also will join us here on Sports Saturday. Cardinal baseball for you this evening, hosting the Padres 520 with the pregame coverage on WSMI AM 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9. And, of course, WSMIRadio.com. You can get all the high school scores there. Of course, podcasts and live streams of our high school sporting events. And you'll also find the Cardinal broadcast schedule along with the Fighting Illini broadcast schedule at WSMIRadio.com. Illinois played last night, lost, of course, to Maryland, 20-17. So we'll have the Brett Bielema show for you Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, over on 105.3 The Ox. Well, last night, the Staunton Bulldogs got to take the field for the second time this year, and it's one of those situations after you miss the first couple games because of all the different COVID things. It's just fantastic to be on the football field, and Staunton head coach Austin Scherfe joins us now. Good morning, sir.
Oh, how are we doing, Tim?
Hey, doing fantastic, and it has to be great to finally see your kids out on the field the last 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, it has been. Especially, I mean, we were sitting there after the Litchfield game wondering if we were going to get any games in. Mm-hmm. So the fact we've got two freshmen, two varsity, and a JV has been absolutely wonderful for the program.
And, you know, this year, more than even normal year in football, you have to just appreciate each day of a practice, even right, because you don't know if you're going to have it tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And, you know, we're behind the eight ball a little bit with everybody kind of having four games and us just now on our first and second one. But, you know, the kids are excited to get out there. The results on the higher level haven't been what we've wanted, but, you know, we got a lot of kids, especially the Bunker Hill kids, that haven't played 2 years, and a lot of them are still adjusting. So, I mean, there's some good things that are happening.
Well, and Austin, with all those moving parts you just alluded to, the two teams you've played haven't exactly been soft, shall we say.
Yeah, you know, us missing our first two games here, we open up our slate with, you know, I think for what's called the Big Four right
yep.
now with Greenville, Pena, Carlinville, Vandalia in that order. So, you know, we just keep telling the kids we're going to find out what we're made of here. You know, don't worry about the name on the jersey. Just worry about getting better each week. And, you know, it's just kind of been our focus here with the first year, you know, the first year getting a new offense and everything in. So,
well, you know, Austin, you mentioned the Bunker Hill kids, and I know when we talked before, you've got a good number of kids for Bunker Hill and some contributors. For them, that is baptism by fire. Welcome to the South Central Conference. They haven't seen that before.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, and a lot of them were mentioning how fast of a team Pena was last night. Because, I mean, even their defensive line, if you watch them on film, their D-line is as quick as most teams' middle linebackers mm-hmm. are. So, if not faster for a couple of them. So, yeah, they've definitely mentioned the play speed from going from some of those eight-man teams up to Greenville and Pena's athleticism.
Talk to me about some of the positives here the last few weeks. Who have been some of the big contributors for you?
Well, you know, offensively, we're kind of a team effort. You know, they're kind of going from one end of the of football offense to the other, going from a four-receiver spread down to the wing T offense. So, I mean, we've had a lot of growing pains offensively, which was to be expected, mm-hmm. Just a whole different idea of blocking and running. You know, our senior quarterback's doing a great job, Sam Best, of keeping everybody's heads up and making sure we're lined up in the right spot. Our senior wide receiver, Evan Treckler's, you know, he's a brand new player from what he was last year as a starter. Mm-hmm. And then we're kind of running back by committee right now till we find some kids who gain traction. So, and then with our offensive line, you know, again, just you know, relearning offense. You know, a lot of those kids have ran spread since their fifth grade year now. So just kind of picking up the plays as they go. And, you know, defensively, we kind of kept things similar to last year. You know, we just got done breaking down our paint of film from last night. We have kids in positions to make plays. They just got to finish the play now. In fact, Faina's first touchdown, we actually had three people around the ball carrier at one point. We just didn't end up bringing them down, and that speed of Faina took over, and he scores a touchdown. So, I mean, we're in position. We get to our blocks. It's, you know, I keep telling them it's like we have 10 people doing things right, one person still learning, and that's what's come back to bite us in the butt on some of these plays.
And, I mean, that's how that goes, right? One person loses their assignment, gets out of their lane, and 6 points.
Yep, the ultimate team sport.
But, you know, when you look at your defense, if you talked about just kind of, you know, game speed, you can't, it's impossible to simulate that in practice. It can't be done.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, Payton's got more than enough speed. They could actually probably split it up and share it with the conference if they'll have enough speed.
I don't think they're going to do that, though, Austin.
No, I don't blame them either.
As you look here now, moving forward, where do you expect to see the biggest improvement in your club here from, say, the first two games to games three and four?
So with our week one game, you know, we kind of had the first game jitters, whereas Greenville did not. So I think we were a little wide-eyed first half, and then second half we come out, you know, we played like a brand-new team. Kind of the same thing here. Payna recovers an onside kick right off the bat. Kids' heads drop. You know, they score, I think, on the first or second play afterwards, and you can kind of see the deflation. You know, and we've talked to them. We've been coaching them up about, you know, move it on, keep the heads up, worry about the next play. You know, we use a mantra that your next play is your best play kind of thing. So, I think they got kind of caught up looking at the competition level. You know, now that they've got that experience, I think we'll be all right this week. Our seniors have gotten a little more vocal after last night, and a couple of our juniors have stood up and said some things as well. I think we'll come out with a little more competitive fire than we did against Payna. And, again, so we'll be week three, our third game, week three, however you want to look at it, with this offense. I think in these kids that haven't played in a couple years, I think we should see a big improvement going into next week.
Well, and Austin, when the kids start to become vocal leaders and begin to take ownership of things, that's when you can really get moving in the right direction in a hurry.
Yep, exactly. Because, I mean, we got great kids. I mean, every coach is going to say that, but I truly do believe we have great kids. We have a lot of kids that lead by example. Now it's just trying to transition that. Hey, lead by example, but you might also have to vocally kind of tell a teammate that's not acceptable, or, you know, commend a teammate for a great effort play and kind of, you know, just bring that energy up and bring that positivity up with it.
And, you know, also sometimes people think, well, the best player is just automatically the vocal leader. That is not necessarily the case. It can be the case, but that's not necessarily the case all the time.
Yep, And our senior leader, Sam Best, I mean, there's not another kid, you know, he's one of those kids, I think if you put the answers to the test on the board, you could trust he wouldn't look at the board as he takes the test. So, I mean, there's not another kid that represents how to do things the right way. And, you know, he spoke up a little last night, so that was very encouraging to see for the coaching staff.
Yeah, Sam Best's a better man than me, Austin. I could not look.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Austin Scherfe, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me on.
Head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs, Austin Scherfe, and we'll have Staunton Carthenville next week on WQSMI FM 106.1 Pizza Man pregame show. Will get underway at 6:30 next Friday night right here on WQSMI. So your South Central Conference standings here through 4 weeks. Payna, Southwestern, both 4-0, Southwestern 3-0 in conference, that non-conference win over Westland. Greenville, Carthenville, Vandalia are all 3-1. For the Comets, all the games have been conference play. Carthenville and Vandalia both 2-1 in league play. But the game of the night in the South Central Conference, the Southwestern Piasol Birds knock off Greenville 28-27, and we're going to have their head coach Pat Keith joining us on the phone here momentarily on Sports Saturday. And you can only imagine the excitement level that was in that Southwestern locker room last night after that win. And, you know, Southwestern went 5-1 in the spring season. You heard Pat Keith mention it last week. It just, the 3-0 start here in the fall, it just had a different feel than that 5-1 spring season did. And, you know, that was just, I think, the case for everybody. The spring season was weird. The experience, invaluable for the kids that got it, right? But just on a whole, it was just a weird deal in the spring. But nothing weird about the fall season right now. And the Piasaw Birds are off to a roaring start here. 4-0, and head coach Pat Keith joins us on the phone. And, sir, congratulations on a sensational W last night.
Thanks, Tim. I appreciate it. I'm very happy for the kids. The kids played hard and had a good game.
Did your locker room survive the excitement that I'm sure was in there last night?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, it was definitely, kids were excited for sure, and coaches as well. But it was a nice win for our program, and I guess a great Greenville program. And Coach Hutch and those guys are going to do a great job. And so it was a nice win for us. We squeaked one out, but once again, just a good team victory.
Talk to me about some of the key contributors for you last night in the W.
I think our quarterback, Quentin Furbeck, had a nice game, throwing the ball and running the ball. Our guys in the backfield, Gavin Day and Blake Funk, had a nice game also. Line did a good job up front. You know, Greenville's pretty big up front, so we struggled early on with Greenville's size a little bit, but got some things figured out. And overall, defensively, I thought a couple guys, Aaron Frost, played well for up the defensive front. Jacob Fisher at a linebacker for us played well. So we had a lot of guys do a lot of good things. And like I said, again, it's a good team win.
4-0, Piasaw Birds. How's that sound?
That sounds good, definitely. You know, it sounds good. And like I said, again, it's a testament to the kids' work ethic and the coaching staff, my assistant coaches, the hard work they put in with our kids. And just, you know, the kids buying in and spending time studying the game, you know, during the week and just executing the game plan.
And still, you know, season's not over, not quite to the halfway point. But, Pat, when you left Roxana, came home, I know you envisioned this happening. Is this the time frame you expected?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I had necessarily a time frame. I just think that I knew that we had some kids that were on the program that were hungry and wanted to, you know, have some success. And they've had success before Southwest. It's not like the first time. And just, you know, like I said, the kids just done a good job of buying in and working hard every day at practice, just like everybody else does, but working hard and just kind of executing what we're trying to accomplish each week.
You know, Pat, yeah, not the first time, but it has been a long time since Southwestern's football team has had this type of operation rolling. You know, they've had success in multiple sports across the board, but football, for whatever reason, the consistency hasn't been there. But 5-1 in the spring, 4-0 now, so they found something.
Yeah, definitely. I just, like I said again, I think that the kids just, you know, there's something that goes along too, Tim, with just having some success, you know. So when success happens, then that also gets kids buying in. I keep saying the word buying, but just believing what we're doing and really having fun. You know, obviously football is a different sport because all sports are tough, but it's a physical sport and your body is tough. And so to have success on Friday nights is a good thing to keep it kind of moving along during the season.
You know, as a coach during the week, you do everything in your power to instill the confidence in those types of things. But until the players believe it themselves, it doesn't fully materialize. But it sounds like the players now on your club, they know, hey, we're good. We're good enough to beat anybody we play.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think that the kids just kind of are starting to feel like they, you know, they can compete week in and week out, and we can. And like I said, again, success and just, I know it's a work ethic, but this big part of it too is getting on film, watching film, and studying your opponents to know what their strengths are and some things we can take advantage of. So those couple of things, I think, along with winning games, kind of gets kids to buy more and do more of those little things that make you more successful.
And, you know, it's always a trick, right? You get a big win, but you got to forget about that very quickly because the schedule doesn't get any easier moving forward.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And no doubt about it. And then going in next week to Paina, you know, one of the top teams in the conference again and having some success right now. They are, too. They're very athletic. And, you know, the following week going to Carlinville and Vandalia. So, yeah, it definitely does not get any easier But, you know, we're going to just kind of keep plugging away and, like I said, preparing each week for each opponent, and then hopefully our kids will be able to execute on Friday nights and do things well.
Everybody that has played Payne this year, and really the last few years, comes away with the same thing, the speed of Pena. It's impossible to simulate those types of things in practice, but what will you try to do to get them ready for the speed they're going to see?
Yeah, I agree on film. You know, they look very quick, and they're, you know, everybody's kind of said the same thing. They get definite speed. It's hard to simulate in practice, but we're going to do our best to use some guys to try to give us the best opportunity to kind of see what it looked like, but you really just can't simulate that in practice, I don't think. The speed of, you know, obviously their players and their program, so we're going to do the best we can, but just obviously, as all I can say, we're going to do the best we can, and that practice is very tough. It's always tough for the scout guys to simulate some of our team's offense and kind of give you the true nuances of it, so hopefully our scout team's done a pretty good job this year so far, so hopefully we can continue that and get ready for Pena.
You know, you hear about, you know, the NFL, you hear about the scout teams. You don't hear a lot about that at the high school level, but, man, that is so important when it's all about preparation and getting those practice reps. If your scout team's not there, you got a problem.
No, I agree. That's a huge part of that we can practice. And, you know, we always talk to, I mean, every coach does, I'm sure, but talks to kids about their roles. And sometimes, you know, a kid's role during the week is at practice is to be the best they can be for scout team to make our help our varsity guys or our starters get prepared for Friday night, you know. And then obviously at the same time, make their skill set better. And the hard part is just trying to simulate someone else's offense and defense. But like you said, the scout team guys are invaluable to our program and to our success, definitely.
Pat Keith, what do the Piasaw Birds number one priority next week against Pena?
I would say probably obviously to keep the ball in their hands, you know, sustain drives and offensively and keep the ball in their hands. And then when they do get the ball in their hands, make them try to eliminate big plays, you know, make them work for everything they get and try to eliminate big plays and get some turnovers.
Well, we talk about, you know, the four-team gauntlet. You guys are through the first week and coming up, Pena, Carlinville, Vandalia. But, man, to get that first one last night, confidence-wise, you guys are going to be flying into next week.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, obviously we got to keep the kids, I don't know if this is the right word, but grounded. You know, we want to make sure we're, you know, obviously understanding who we're preparing for and just, you know, take, you know, each step each week one by one. So this, the next step is week five, and it doesn't matter who we play, but we just need to make ourselves better. That's the most important thing. As long as we're improving every day at practice and getting a little better, that's the main thing for our program.
Sounds great. Pat Keith, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. Great win last night, and best of luck next week.
I appreciate it, Tim. Thank you very much.
Pat Keith, the head coach of the Southwestern Piasaw Birds. You know, we talk about, you know, the big four, if you will. Hey, it's a power five right now with the Southwestern Piasaw Birds. You heard Todd Cantrell say it. They have weapons, multiple weapons that they can hurt you with. So the Southwestern Piasaw Birds, an absolute force to be reckoned with here in the 2021 season. That is it for WSMI Sports Saturday. Thanks to all of our coaches who joined us this morning. Chad Easterday, Joe Reed, Pat Bowman, Todd Cantrell, Paul Watson, Austin Scherfe, and Pat Keith. We got all sorts of high school sports going on today. You got boys soccer. You got the Ray Long Volleyball Classic up in New Berlin. The Vandalia Volleyball Tournament is going on as well. And a note, the Litchfield Wrestling Foundation will have their first Battle of the Bowl coming up October 9th at the Litchfield Moose from 8:30 until 5. It will benefit all Litchfield wrestling programs K through 12. There'll be a chili cook-off, bags tournament, silent auction, and live music from 2 to 5. That is October 9th. At the Litchfield Moose to benefit all Litchfield wrestling programs. Cardinal Baseball, 5:20 tonight, AM 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9 as the Cards host the Padres. For Jennifer Graham, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done here on WSMI. Have a great sporting weekend.